Hello and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. When most people go on vacation, they go to relax. But not Rembrandt. His vacations are always an adventure. So please join me as we adventure together on the 3-hour tour. The moral of today's parable comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is no one other to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three is not easily torn apart. Rembrandt woke up and looked out the window of his apartment on Maplewood Avenue and sighed. It was a day like every other day. That was the problem. Rembrandt was bored and tired. He needed a vacation, a change of scenery, a break from the monotony. The first person he spoke to that day was Herbie at work at the Morton's Coffee Pub. "Martin, ready for another day in paradise," said Herb. "You know what, Herbie? I'm not. I need to get out of this city for a while. It gets to you after a while, you know?" Herb nodded. "I hear you. Sometimes I really miss things down home. I just want to hop on the first flight home, but it's so expensive." "Hey, you should come with me and Bob. He's going to take me sailing around Manitoulin Island. Just think, a week of fishing. Nothing better than that, eh?" Rembrandt rolled his eyes. The events of the morning wore Rembrandt down to his last nerve. It started when a heated argument broke out between a city bus driver and his passengers. The bus driver parked his bus at the stop in front of the Mortons and came in for a coffee. For 25 minutes he sat, enjoying his coffee break. Two irate passengers came and yelled at him. The bus driver refused to budge. This went on for 10 minutes until Herbie went over to intervene. Things were just settling down when another passenger entered the restaurant and ordered a dozen Boston cream donuts. The passenger calmly walked to the bus driver and smashed a donut in the face of the bus driver. The passenger took a step back, grabbed another donut, and threw it at the bus driver. The bus driver caught it and in one motion threw it back. It hit a young woman who was eating a bagel two tables away. In a flash, the air was filled with pastries. Donuts literally hit the fan. Some customers ran for cover. Others ran for more ammunition. The staff of the Mortons was overwhelmed. Doreen managed to get to the office, but not before her right ear was filled with strawberry filling. Butch called the police, but things settled down before they arrived. That was mainly because there was no food left to throw. Every donut, bagel, and scone was wasted. Even the chili and soups were spilled in the heat of battle. Butch closed the Mortons as all available staff cleaned. 4 hours later, the restaurant reopened. A line was waiting. Rembrandt's first customer was a middle-aged lady dressed in a business suit. "I'll have a large with 3.5 sugar, 1 cream, and 1 milk. You know what? Just charge me for it and I'll make it myself. You people never make my coffee right," she said as she put her money down, went behind the counter, and started pouring her coffee. "Wait, you can't do that," said Rembrandt. He reached for the pot she was holding. She slapped him in the face. Twice! Rembrandt watched in stunned silence as she stormed out of the restaurant, coffee in hand. Something in Rembrandt snapped. "I'm going away for a week," said Rembrandt. Butch never even blinked. "Starting when?" he said. "Tomorrow," said Rembrandt. "Where are you going?" asked Butch. "Anywhere but here," said Rembrandt. Rembrandt spotted Manitoulin Bob in the restaurant an hour later. "Hey, Bob, I heard you and Herbie were going up to Manitoulin for a week," he said. "Yep," said Bob. "Can you take one more?" asked Rembrandt. Manitoulin Bob scratched his beard. "It's a small boat. It'll be cramped," he said. "I won't take up much space," said Rembrandt. "You're from the Perrys, aren't you? Not much water there, said Bob. There are more lakes in Manitoba than you think, said Rembrandt. Bob, let him come, said Herbie. I don't want to see a grown man beg. 2 days later, Rembrandt, Herbie, and Manitoulin and Bob stood at the docks in Tobermory, waiting for the Chichiman. The sky was blue and bright. Rembrandt warmed himself on the grass while Bob and Herbie planned their fishing strategies. Rembrandt dozed off. The booming echo of the Chichiman shocked him back to reality. The Chichiman was the largest boat Rembrandt had ever seen. His eyes widened, and a smile spread across his face. Yes, he said. He could tell by the flutter in his belly this was going to be an adventure. Rembrandt, Herbie, and Manitoulin Bob climbed the stairs to the gangway, then climbed to the highest observation deck. Rembrandt soaked in the sights, the sounds, and smells of the journey across Lake Huron. It felt like they were traveling to a distant land. The Chichiman docked in South Bay Mouth on the southeast side of Manitoulin Island. Herbie, Manitoulin Bob, and Rembrandt had a short walk to the marina. A comfortable breeze blew across the lake. Bob led them to a 35-foot sloop dubbed Mariposa II. Herbie rubbed his hands together with excitement. I haven't sailed since I left home, he said. Rembrandt was less enthusiastic. For the first time, he realized what he was about to do. Manitoulin Bob noticed the shock on Rembrandt's face. First time sailing, he said. Yeah, kind of, said Rembrandt. No worries. Me and Herbie'll take care of you. All you gotta do is enjoy the ride. Yeah, we got this, said Herb, patting Rembrandt on the back. They boarded the Mariposa II, and within the hour they were underway. Rembrandt was amazed by the sounds of the open water. Gone were the invasive noises of angry people and honking cars. All he heard was the splashing of waves and the snapping sails of the Mariposa II. It was everything he hoped for in a vacation. He dozed off, feeling truly content. Rembrandt woke a few hours later to the laughter of Herbie and Bob. They were fishing. Look, Sleeping Beauty's finally awake, said Herbie. Bob laughed and threw his line in the lake. How long was I out? Asked Rembrandt. Couple hours, said Bob. Grab a pole. You're missing some great fishing. I hope you like salmon, said Herbie. Rembrandt grabbed a pole. He looked off to the horizon. There was no land to be seen anywhere. It was oddly unsettling. Where are we? Asked Rembrandt. About 5 miles off Michael's Point, said Bob. No one else looked worried, so Rembrandt felt reassured. The three fished until the moon's reflection shimmered off the lake. It was a great day. Rembrandt caught 3 salmon. Herbie caught 6 and Bob 5. They saved the best 3 for supper and released the rest. After a meal of salmon fillets and fish stories, Rembrandt drifted off to sleep. Just before he closed his eyes, Rembrandt glanced at the peaceful night sky one more time. It was the violent rocking of the boat that first led Rembrandt to think something was very, very wrong. He climbed on deck and was nearly washed overboard. The gentle moon was replaced with a violent storm. The clouds and driving rain turned everything black. Bob, Herbie, shouted Rembrandt. His voice was silenced by the wind. Flashes of lightning revealed his friends frantically fighting to keep the boat upright. Rembrandt was tossed across the deck, crashing into Bob. Go help Herbie! We've got to get the sails down before they bring us down, shouted Bob. Another flash of lightning showed Herbie pulling on a rope. Waves crashed over the deck, knocking him over. Rembrandt fought through the stinging rain and made his way to Herbie. Go to the starboard side and untie the jib rope, yelped Herbie. Rembrandt could barely hear Herbie over the wind. Rembrandt's heart sank. I have no idea what you're talking about, he shouted. The rope over there. Cut it if you have to. Get the sail down. Go, shouted Herbie. Rembrandt nodded. The boat heaved. The boom swung free and cracked Rembrandt in the face, breaking his nose. He screamed in pain. As he struggled to gather himself, Rembrandt spotted the knot he needed to untie. It was soaked and slippery. Rembrandt wrestled with the knot like his life depended on it. At one point, he bit it, sending waves of pain through his face. It loosened ever so slightly. Then again, he worked at it with renewed vigor. The rope moved. It slipped Rembrandt's grasp as the jib fell. Over the wind and rain, Rembrandt heard the sound of cheering. Suddenly, the sloop jerked violently. Rembrandt was thrown forward, hitting his head. Everything went dark. Rembrandt woke to the sound of children playing. He knew he wasn't dead because his nose throbbed in pain. He grabbed a handful of sand. His eyes adjusted to the sunlight as a figure approached. Hey, Sleeping Beauty's awake! Rembrandt instantly recognized the voice. Herbie crouched down and held out an ice cream cone. It's from Farquhar's Dairy. It's good, said Herbie. Rembrandt propped himself up and took the ice cream. Thanks, he said. It tasted better than anything he ever had in his life. Rembrandt could now make out a playground and boardwalk in the distance. Where are we? He asked. Herbie leaned back in the sand and stared into the distance. The storm drove us into Providence Bay. Great name, eh? We beached in 6 feet of water, see? He pointed to the bay. Rembrandt saw the Mariposa II laying on its side, partially submerged. Around it were several boats. Manitoulin Bob was climbing on board, surveying the damage. I really thought we saved the ship, said Rembrandt softly. Herbie grabbed Rembrandt's shoulder and shook him. You're kidding, right? We did save the ship. It could have been a lot worse. But it's beached, said Rembrandt. Ice cream was dripping down the cone. That's nothing. Bob'll have it up and sailing in no time, said Herbie. You know, there's a reason why it's called Providence Bay. God is the savior of fools and sailors. Rembrandt looked out at the Mariposa II, then back at Herbie. Which are we? Herbie laughed. Eat your ice cream.
Thank you for listening to the story, 3-Hour Tour. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to leave any questions or comments, please feel free to do so through the iTunes Store at The Rembrandt Parables, or through the website www.therembrandtparables.com. Until next time, good day and God bless.